Appreciate the opportunity of being here again tonight, and we certainly beg an interest in your prayers, as I feel like that you prayed for Brother Melvin, that you will also continue to pray for me for the time that I stand before you tonight. I don't know, somebody left me a hen up here. I used to wear a pocket. I'm going to close it. Used to, when I first started preaching, a lot of fellas wore a vest, and I had a pocket watch that I wore, and it had a big long chain on it, and my little girl one time, I took out my pocket watch and laid it on the bookboard, and my little girl asked her mother, said, "Mother, what does that mean?" She said, "Don't mean one thing." I promise you I won't keep you too long tonight. I appreciate what's gone before, and I hope that you'll pray for me for the time that I stand before you. Call your attention tonight to Hebrews chapter 9, beginning with verse 26. Hebrews chapter 9, beginning with verse 26. Now, over at my house, it's just 15 after 7. Y'all understand what I'm saying? But I know when I cross the river, it's time for me to do like to do in Georgia. So, I know it's 15 after 8. And I'm going to quit at 8:35, all right? Now, we're going to cover a lot of territory in that little while. But if I see one of you look at your watch, I'm going to add 30 minutes. So if y'all don't want to stay 30 minutes longer, then don't let me see you watch. Look at your watch. All right. All right. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. The apostle, as he begins to write this Hebrew letter, begins to give a comparison of things that were old and things that were new. Things that were sometimes declared as better, a better covenant, a better resurrection, a new covenant, an old covenant. And when Paul began to write here in Hebrews chapter 9, he began to reflect back on the time when Moses described the tabernacle. Now, when you begin to read in the Old Testament, you'll find out that the tabernacle was that place that God's people met God, at the tabernacle. Those that sought the Lord, the Bible said, went out to the tabernacle. That's where God came down above the mercy seat between the cherubims and spoke to Moses and Aaron off the mercy seat. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 16, you know what the Bible says about the stars? The Bible says that he made the stars also. That's all it says. Made the stars also. Beautiful constellations as they are. That's all it said about the stars. Made the stars also. But when he came to the tabernacle, he took 15 chapters from Exodus chapter 25 to Exodus chapter 40 to describe the tabernacle and all its artifacts. And when Paul begins to reflect back on that, he again begins to describe the tabernacle, the mercy seat, and the candlestick. And I don't have time to go all through that, but he called that the divine service. And he talked about that in such a way to tell us that it was a figure. Now, figure must have something real from which it is drawn, or else it ceases to be a true figure. The Bible tells me what in Romans chapter 5 and verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam and Moses, even over them who had not sinned at the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. So the Bible tells me, and no argument to be made, no question to be asked, that Adam was a figure of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, the Bible tells me that baptism is a figure. Baptism is a figure. Understand this also, that all that took place over there under the divine worship, under the old covenant, all of that was a figure. It pointed to something far greater than what that was. The sacrifices of the Old Testament, they were good for what God gave them for, but they could never take away sin. Amen?
Amen, brother.
The weakness of the law was shown by the repetition of the sacrifice. It had to be done over and over and over again. Could never take away sin. The Bible tells me in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 1, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. I've heard good old Baptists say, well, it rolls sin forward for another year. Didn't do any such thing. That it took care of sin for the present. Didn't do any such thing. Let's just call it what the Bible says. And the Bible says in Hebrews 10 and 3 that in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sin every year.
Right.
Now that's what that did. It caused them to remember their sin. Those sacrifices were good for what God gave them for, but it took a greater sacrifice than the sacrifices of the law to appease a thrice holy God who demanded perfection in every way. So the Bible says here, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world. Now you know we hear a lot about the end of the world, don't we? We hear a lot about we living in the last days, and I don't doubt that. I mean, we've lived in the last days ever since Jesus went back to glory. We're living in the last days. But when the Bible says here that he appeared once in the end of the world, he simply means that he appeared once in the end of that age. Appeared once in the end of the Mosaical day. And in the end of that age, the Bible says that our Savior Jesus Christ appeared in the end of that world, or the end of that age, for this reason. That he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18 says this, know ye not that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, or from the vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who was verily foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest or openly declared in these what? Last times for you. In the end of that world, in the end of that age, Jesus Christ made a literal and physical appearance. The Bible tells me in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was what? Manifest in the flesh. Justified in the spirit. Seen of angels, preached to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in the glory. I get nauseated with some of these people, Brother Will, sometimes, that have the idea that when Jesus came down into this world, he came down here to study. I got a better story for you than that, brother. And that is that when Jesus Christ came down into this world, he came at the right and the appointed time. Now, if you doubt that, read it in Galatians 4 and 4. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. In the fullness of the time, that's the way it reads, in the fullness of the time, God sent forth his Son into the world for a specific and a designed purpose and reason. that was set in motion in the council halls of eternity before Jesus' sweet name was ever sung on the dusty hills of Galilee, and when he had performed all that was spoken of him, when the scriptures were fulfilled concerning him, he himself had fulfilled all that God desired. When he had finished that, he left that place and was received back to the glory that he had. Now, I want you to understand this today. When the Bible tells us that Christ Jesus himself made a sacrifice for sin, from that point to this, God has never required another sacrifice for sin. You know why? Because God was satisfied. Now, you know, me and you today have a hard time satisfying folks. You know, I've got a position in my county that, you know, I'd love to satisfy folks, but it just don't happen. You know, I get depressed, I get upset, shook up, and, you know, sometimes I boil over and Mama said melt and run off. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? That happens to me, dealing with people sometimes. That's the truth. But let me tell you right now, the reason is because I can't satisfy all that needs to be satisfied. But I'll tell you this, when Jesus died, he satisfied God. Never another sacrifice did God require after God was satisfied with that sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ that he made when he appeared once in the end of the age, made that sacrifice, and that sacrifice eradicated, put away every sin that would have doomed us and damned us in hell forever. And today, let me tell you, when God sees you, he sees you through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That mercy seat. Do you know what that mercy seat was a typical figure of? The Lord Jesus Christ. That mercy seat was a covering. It was one of two articles in the tabernacle that was made of pure gold. One was the golden candlestick. The other was the mercy seat. It covered the Ark of the Covenant. And in the Ark of the Covenant was three things. There was the tables of the law, there was Aaron's rod that budded, and there was a golden pot that was filled with manna. But over that, there was that mercy seat made of pure gold. It was a cover. Understand that. All right, go into Romans 3 and 23. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, listen now to what the Bible says. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That doesn't need any interpretation, does it?
Yeah.
Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to get this because it's going to be the most important thing I say. It says this, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation or satisfaction. You look up this word and it literally means mercy seat. Mercy seat. It is the mercy seat, the propitiation, the satisfaction. Jesus Christ was that propitiation through faith in his blood. Now let me tell you right now, when you understand about this faith right here, I'm going to tell you, let me just say as easy as I can, God's faith not in you.
That's right.
God's faith never been in you,
right.
But God's faith was in his Son. Well, I said, I didn't know God had faith. You'd have read it, you'd have known it.
Yeah.
Bible says this in Romans chapter 3, for what advantage then has the Jew? Much in every way, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God. But he said, for what if some did not believe? You know, I spend my life, this brother talked about it a while ago, preaching the gospel that folks might believe the truth. But you know, if I preach or he preaches it, if everybody believes it or if nobody believes it, truth's still the truth. Amen.
Amen.
Truth's still the truth. Doesn't change one thing. I want folks to believe. But it doesn't change it if anybody. I used to say, God said it, I believe it, and that's it. You know, that's not right. No. God said it, and that says it, whether I believe it or not. Amen. Doesn't change it, whether I believe it or not. The Bible said, for what if some did not believe, shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. God's faith was not in you. Somebody said, God had faith. I'm going to tell you, the Bible says He does. God's faith, God's faithfulness. Let me tell you right now, God can't give something He doesn't possess. God gives you faith. If faith's a gift of God, then God must possess what He gives.
Amen.
I maintain today that God's faith is not in you, but God's faith or God's confidence was in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom He saw as an already satisfied work before it was ever done.
Amen. Right.
Thank God for that precious promise today. But He appeared once in the end of the world, put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. You see, today, brothers and sisters, you have been saved because of somebody else. Amen? You remember this. 2 Samuel chapter 9, you know what the Bible tells us? David said this. He said, "Is there any yet left of the house of Saul that I may show kindness to for Jonathan's sake?" You go back and you reflect on that. You know what the Bible said about Jonathan and David? That they loved each other like their own soul. That's what they said about it. Loved each other like their own soul. We find that Jonathan died, and David reflected back on the love that he had for Jonathan. And now he says, "Is there any yet left of the house of Saul that I may show kindness to for Jonathan's sake?" They said, "Yeah, there's one little boy. One little boy. His name's Mephibosheth. And he's over yonder in Lodibar with his mama's people." You know what the word Lodibar means? The place of no pasture. You know, there's a lot of God's children in that place. Amen?
Amen.
The place of no pasture. He's over there in Lodibar with his mama's people. You go and you fetch him. Now, let me tell you, that's not bad English. We just don't say that in Alabama. You see, that's not bad English. That's Bible. You know what that means? He says it means he got what he went after. Got what he went after. You and your section. Well, I want to tell you, this boy was crippled. He was lame on his feet. 1 Samuel chapter 5 says that the lame can't be brought to the king's house. But I want to tell you right now, is there any yet left of the house of Saul that I may show kindness to? For Jonathan said, "Yeah, he's over yonder. You go and you fetch him. You bring him." They go over there and they tell him, "Why, the king has sent for you." He says, "Who am I that such a dead dog as I am should eat the king's table? Who am I that such a dead dog as I am should eat at the king's table?" Let me tell you right now, brother, that Mephibosheth was brought to the king's house not because of who he was, but because of somebody else. In Genesis chapter 19, verse 29, you know the only reason that Lot got out of Sodom? Read it. The Bible says this, that the Lord remembered Abraham and sent out Lot. That's the only reason Lot got out. That the Lord remembered Abraham and sent out Lot. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says this, "For he hath made him, Christ the sacrifice, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." You see, the only way today that you will be saved is through the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody else. The only reason today that you'll be judged, justified, is because of somebody else. Here's the reason, brother, that I would drive 1,000 miles. Here's the reason that I tell God's children wherever I go, that in the last day when God Almighty rises up to charge you for every sin that you've committed, thank God, my brother, we'll have a friend in the court.
Amen.
There'll be a friend there that'll say the debt's been paid.
Amen.
It's all been canceled. Say with the Apostle Paul, "Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." Why? Because the Bible tells me in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 12, "But this man, when he offered one sacrifice for sin, sat down." This man, my friend, it took the humanity of Christ to satisfy God's divine law. man had violated God's law. Therefore, it took a man to pay the penalty that God's law demanded. And we and you and me are touched with sin as we are. We could not and cannot satisfy God's law because of the imperfection of our flesh. But I'll take you right now, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was God personified in the flesh, God manifest in the flesh. God recognized that offering as the perfect sacrifice that he demanded. And today, in that last great day, when all men shall stand before him, and God Almighty, who is judge of all the earth, who would be just and right to banish all of us into that place called hell forever, let me tell you right now, you'll be judged not on your righteousness, but on the righteousness of somebody else.
Amen.
The righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we preach today. That's what we believe today. I told this a time or two, and it might do you good to listen at it again. I was going down I was preaching in Birmingham. I had to be at Wiggum, Georgia, which is across the Chattahoochee River, out from Dothan, Alabama. And so I was left Birmingham. It finally dawned on me that I was losing an hour. I went across the line down there. So I had to be there kind of early. And so I was going to Trinity Church at Wiggum, Georgia. And so I going down Highway 231, and I got down between Troy and Dothan, and the highway patrolman pulled me over. I mean, I didn't know he was back there. I mean, I had a new Dodge four-wheel drive pickup, mister, that would carry the mail. I'm going to tell you right now. I mean, I had my foot in it, and I was going to Wiggum, Georgia. And so I finally, he got me stopped, and I looked back, and there's this blue light everywhere. And he got up there, and I got out my paperwork, and he said, where are you going in such a hurry? I said, I know this don't mean one thing to you, but I've got to be at an associational meeting at Wiggum, Georgia at 6 o'clock. He said, where in the world is Wiggum, Georgia? I said, I got to be at an association meeting at Wiggum, Georgia at 6 o'clock. He said, are you a Primitive Baptist? I said, brother, I got my foot in the door now. He ain't going to give me no ticket now. And I got to talking to him. I said, are you a Primitive Baptist? He said, no, but my mama is. We got to talking. He said, preacher, if I let you go, said, will you slow this thing down 65 miles an hour? I said, I promise you I'll slow it down. He wrote me out a warning ticket, brought it back up there. And I said, I hope you have a safe trip and a good meeting. I said, I want to tell you, I just want to thank you for not writing me a ticket. He said, don't thank me. Thank my mama. Somebody else. Now, the Bible tells me in 1 Timothy 2 and 5 that there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. There's the bridge over troubled waters. There's the bridge that will give you comfort when the doctor comes in and tells you that we've gone as far as we can go. I preached a funeral today of a man who just a few days ago was diagnosed with a dreaded disease, and it took its toll. Got back home, and the man that I graduated from high school with got another dreaded disease and didn't know he passed away, and I got down there, and I got back there, and those folks said it was so sudden. The doctor said there was nothing they could do. I'll tell you right now, friend, when the doctors come in and give you that kind of report of some circumstances in your life that you just can't control, I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to take somebody else to be a bridge over troubled waters. Amen?
Amen.
Yes, sir. Somebody else is going to take. I never will forget one time when I was a young man. I was out far in the country, and I've got to quit right now. Don't look at your watch. When I was a young man, there's a place up over in Jackson County, Alabama, called the Sheep Neck. Now, y'all don't know what the Sheep Neck is, but the Sheep Neck goes right up to the foot of the mountain. It's a coal mining community right over in Jackson County. We used to have a church up in the Sheep Neck. And so they called me to come and preach a funeral. I didn't know people very much, but they had a connection with our people. They called me and said, Brother Ricky, our baby's died. Would you come and holy funeral for us. Said, there's one thing. I said, what is it? Said, we don't have any money to pay. I said, that's beside the point. I'll be there. So on a cold October day, I drove back up in Sheep Neck. And I remember this just as long as I live. And under some cedar trees and a grove up there, and it's still there just like it was then, there's a mule tied to a ground slide. Y'all know what a ground slide is? I see some folks shaking their head. You young folks don't know much about a ground slide, but there's a mule tied to the ground slide. Red clay on it. And these people were so steeped in poverty. So they took the check lines off the mules and let that baby's casket down in that grave. And I had the funeral. 30 years later, I got a check through the mail one night. 30 years later, I got a check through the mail. And it said, thank you for the comfort that you gave us because the truth has made us free.
Amen.
I want to tell you something today. The truth will still do that for you.
Amen.
Still do that for you. It makes us free. It will. Let me tell you. Every prison is not made up of iron bars and concrete walls.
Amen.
There are some folks that are in prison. Young folks, listen to me now. There are some folks that are in prison to alcohol, some to drugs, some to illicit sex. I don't care what it is. There's a lot of things that will imprison you out there. But I want to tell you something. You don't have to be a slave to those things. You don't have to be a slave to those things because there is a truth that will make you free, and identifying with that truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and His sacrifice is that good news that the Lord Jesus Christ has paid a debt that you couldn't pay, that He's done something for you that you couldn't do. And I just maintain today that if that ever one time makes sense to you, nothing else will. Amen. If that'll ever one time make sense to you, nothing else will. I maintain today that as our Lord appeared with that sacrifice for sin, He did that. He was a complete success in what He did. The world would have you to believe that the Holy Spirit is defeated, that God is disappointed, and that the Son is disillusioned because mankind is not cooperating with Him. Let me tell you right now, my friend, mankind doesn't cooperate with God. Man told me one time, he said, Brother Ricky, I love you, old Baptist, but there's one thing I just don't believe. I don't believe that God will drag a man off to heaven kicking and screaming whether he wants to go or not. I said, well, we don't believe that either. I'll tell you what we believe about it, brother, that God makes us willing in the day of His power.
Amen.
Yes, sir. He makes us a willing character in the day of His power.
Amen.
And when He does that, I want to tell you, he said, God is a gentleman. He'll not save you against your will. Let me tell you right now, brother, every sinner that's ever been saved was saved against his will. Saved against his will. God willed against the will of the sinner and made him a willing character in the day of his power. That's what we believe about it. Now, okay, you today, I'm going to rest my case right there. I'm going to rest my case right there. Because in that sacrifice, I can take courage. In that gospel, I can take comfort. And I'm going to tell you that same gospel that has sustained us is a continuing work today that sustains us in this world that is no friend of grace. I love you all. May God bless you. Thank you for letting me come to Macedonia again after all these years. Thank you for keeping on. Brother Will, may God bless you in your labor. And I thank you for so much for the work that you do. But greater than that, let me tell you this. You folks pray for him. You hear me? That's right. You folks pray for him. You folks pray for this brother. You folks pray for Brother Thomas back there. You know, I used to be a young preacher. I'm not in that category anymore. I'm not in that category anymore. I want to tell you one thing, that I still love the Lord. I think I love the church today more than I ever have. I love the cause today more than I ever have. Right now, when I get through here tonight, I'm going to drive to Macon, Georgia. And I'm going to come back tomorrow. And do you know what? I'm going to be happy when I do it. I went to my dad-in-law's office one day in Birmingham. He said, Rick, he said, I don't know what you mean. Now, I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you wear the automobile every year. He said, you leave your wife and family 6 months a year. He said, I just wouldn't do it. I said, well, it proves to me one thing, brother. The Lord never did make a mistake who he called a priest. he knew who would and who wouldn't. And he's still doing that today. Bless God, I want to tell you right now that God is still calling men to preach. God is still calling men to declare the old time gospel. And I'll tell you, when those two get together, that man that's born of God and that preacher that's called of God, when both of them get together, I want to tell you it's going to be a good time in Zion. Yes, sir. Thank you. May God bless you, my brother. Brother.